Also, Motley here on Vocaloid.org. I'm Dan here with Mike and Andy from Outside the Loop Radio. Welcome, guys.
Thank you so much for having us. We're excited. We're thrilled to be here.
I'm thrilled to have you. You guys have been hosting your own radio show and podcasting it for how long now?
Well, the podcast has been around since September of last year.
Yeah, so about a year and a couple months.
Right. But the show started on WLUW, which is 88.7 FM, in March.
Right.
They picked us up in March, and it's been great. The shows have gotten tighter. It's all about Chicago, local issues. Mm-hmm. We call ourselves the almost Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine because we're not quite, you know, we don't have quite the production or the polish of, say, a commercial radio station. But and I think it's more of the topics we talk about, too, are more underground. They're more alternative. We do some mainstream stuff, but maybe with a different spin. So we're almost above ground.
How'd you start doing this?
You know, to be quite honest, the idea was born where the majority of great ideas are born in a bar. Mm-hmm. Andy and I both worked in radio professionally. Andy still does, mm-hmm. although I consider Outside the Loop professional. I really do.
We approach it that way.
Yeah, and it grew out of our frustration that there wasn't a show aside from shows that you might hear like on BZ, like an 848, which our show is kind of modeled after. There aren't enough local shows that deal with issues that people in the community are talking about. And so we were sitting around at a bar kicking around ideas, and we said, well, we need to do something. And that's where the podcast idea came from. So
you were on the internet first, and then on local community radio, and here you are back. You are kind of looping the loop back to Vocaloid, where it's everything at once.
Yeah,
because you've been posting your stuff to Vocaloid.org.
Right. When Vocaloid came along, it was very cool to see that project sort of unfold. We followed it very closely, and so then when we knew what it was all about, we said, "Well, maybe we should submit some stuff and contribute to the good times here." The meeting place that is the audio meeting place that is Vocalo.
There we go. So here's an interview you guys did just in the last week or two, I think, with a student.
Oh yeah, we just posted that I think within the last few days.
Yeah.
It has to do with the whole Illinois required moment of silence in the high schools across the state, and there's been kind of a movement in the social networking site Facebook.
Right.
To combat this, so we talked with the media coordinator. He calls himself.
Of that Facebook group. Here, let's hear that interview right now.
Cool. Recently, the state of Illinois joined more than a dozen other states that impose a mandatory moment of silence in public schools. The legislature passed this law earlier in October over the veto of Governor Blagojevich. And this is starting to cause somewhat of a controversy among certain circles, especially those who are in high school. There was a challenge to that law that was filed pretty quickly after it was passed. What happened after that was a judge refused to block the moment of silence law. By the way, it's called the Silent Reflection and Student Prayer Act. There are appeals underway right now. The representative who was one of the co-sponsors is Representative Monique Davis, a Democrat. She said, quote, about this law, "These kids are living hectic lives. Now, we can't stop all of that because a lot of it is necessary. But every day in school, there should be a moment of quiet time, just a moment of silence for students to collect his or her thoughts," end quote. So we thought we would look around and see what some of the high school kids are saying about this law. There's actually a group on the social networking site Facebook called Illinois Students Against Required Silence. The media representative of that Facebook group is Josh. Josh asked us not to reveal his last name or the school he is attending. However, he is a high school senior in Chicagoland. And again, Josh is the official media representative of the Facebook group, Illinois Students Against Required Silence. He joins us on the phone here and Outside the Loop Radio. Josh, it's a pleasure to have you here on the show.
Thanks for having me, Mike. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, let me just ask you this right off the bat. You're a 17-year-old high school senior. Why are you so against this law that recently went into effect?
I'm against this law because I think that it violates two of the constitutional rights guaranteed to us in the First Amendment. Those rights are the freedom of speech and, as the Establishment Clause tells us, the separation of church and state.
So you feel basically that this law, although it doesn't necessarily promote a specific religion in the language of the law, is basically doing just that, though, because it's providing space for religious prayer.
In a way, I think you're exactly right. I have never argued that this law requires the practice of any religion. Obviously, the school cannot specifically tell us what we do in that time. However, as you have mentioned, the official title of the act is the Illinois Silent Student Reflection and Silent Prayer Act. And the fact that it gives prayer as a possible use of that time, it just shows that the government is facilitating the practice of religion in public schools. And so I feel that that is enough to be found unconstitutional because of the separation of church and state in the Establishment Clause, as I mentioned earlier.
Well, you're a high school senior, Josh. What are your friends and you know, your students around you, who you hang out with every day, what are they saying about this? Is this a big issue in the halls at school?
It's very mixed. I have, in my school personally, I have never had a student in my school come up to me and say, this law, you are totally wrong on your opinions. I have had two different viewpoints. The first viewpoint is, yeah, I agree with you. You definitely should be protesting this fight for your constitutional rights. The other opinion is, yeah, I mean, this could violate the Constitution, but really, is it that big of a deal? It's only a brief moment. I mean, could you be focusing on Darfur or some other more important issue?
And how do you answer that, Josh? Because that is, I think, a valid criticism. This is, what, a couple moments during the day. Is this really doing any harm?
That is a good question. And my response to that is, while I certainly do care about more important issues such as poverty, hunger, and the conflict in Darfur, regardless of the time that's being allotted to this law, I think that's really a less significant issue than what people are making it out to be. It's the principle that the constitutional rights are being violated in the first place. That is what needs to be looked at. I mean, there's no gray area in, are your constitutional rights being taken away or not? It's a yes or no question. My answer to that is yes. And while my school silence is approximately 5 seconds, this Facebook forum that I've created has allowed me to learn that some are 10, some are 30, and some are a full minute.
Well, what else are students saying in this Facebook group that you started? Because it's really taken off. You've got a few thousand people on that Facebook group. What are they saying? What are you hearing besides the different moments, the different lengths of time?
Basically, what has been going on the forum of the Facebook group is just people expressing opinions, and there have been a lot of respectful debate, people from both sides throwing their opinions into the mix. And some people have been completely against this law, citing constitutional rights and other reasons. Some people have actually told us that we are being disrespectful to them and their religion by wanting this law outlawed. That's really not the case. We just ask that the government not micromanage our lives, because to the person who says it's only 10 seconds, it's not a big deal, I say to that person, if 10 seconds is not a big amount of time, why can't this prayer be done outside of the school if it's that important to you? Because the school is allowing this time for the prayer to occur, it is, in effect, sort of endorsing the practicing of religion with prayer. Not all religions have prayer, and thus those religions are being discriminated against by this state law.
Well, Josh, we wanted to get a high schooler's point of view because really this affects you guys, the high schoolers, and we really appreciate you giving us some time here on Outside the Loop. Again, Josh is the official media representative of the Facebook group Illinois Students Against Required Silence. Josh, thanks so much for talking to us here on Outside the Loop.
Thank you very much for having me.
You found Vocalo.org on WBEW, Chesterton, 89.5 FM.
Little surprises around every corner, but nothing dangerous.
Here at Vocalo.org, and we're here with, in fact, Outside the Loop Radio. It's like Outside the Loop Radio on Vocalo Radio. I'm here with Mike and Andy from Outside the Loop.
It's like a twofer.
It's like a twofer. It's like
Outside
one of those
twofer.
It's like if you've ever read comic books when you were a kid, there's like Marvel team up with like Spider-Man and Iceman.
Yeah, they bring in some random guy and you're like, these guys would never work together.
Right.
This is all about Spider-Man.
Right. It's just another way to have another Spider-Man book out there. But here, it's all 2 for 1. So that was your interview with the unnamed, right?
Josh. You just went by Josh.
Not fully named media representative of the Facebook group against the Illinois Moment of Prayer. Super interesting moment of silence, right? Not silence and reflective prayer.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting I think he was probably the youngest person we've interviewed on that show.
Absolutely.
We wanted to get, you know, we like to get different perspectives on issues that maybe you hear about in the mainstream, but no one's really talking to the kids about this.
Right. I think this was a really good example of that because Josh was a person we found, and I found the mention of the Facebook article in one newspaper article. So we tracked Josh down. No one else was talking about this group. So we thought that would be a great angle, you know, and get someone young on the show to talk about why they're so passionate about this issue.
Yeah.
I think it worked out. I think it was pretty cool. And we'll be airing that this week?
Yeah, that'll be out in this week's show.
Okay, this Friday.
All right. And you meanwhile identified a bunch of stuff on vocalo.org that you like were interested in. One of them happened to be a piece by a high school student about God.
I used to believe in God, but things changed when I heard a friend say,
God does not exist!
And that's how it all started. Somebody asks about my religion, and I tell them that I'm Catholic. And they ask me, do you go to church? And I say, no, not really, because I'm not sure whether I believe in God or not.
The Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the grace of our Lord.
I went to church the other day, and it was horrible. Mass is only 1 hour, and 20 to 30 minutes were spent talking on how the church was requesting for people to make a big donation. I think Mass has changed a lot throughout the times. Back in Peru, we used to hold hands and we used to pray. The question about God comes up over and over again every time I'm having a conversation with somebody. I'm always arguing with people.
I'm gonna be late if we don't make it.
We'll get there in time, we always do.
I'm driving to church with my girlfriend, Nikki.
What do you think about the Bible, Nikki?
I think it's a good, useful source that you can live by.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Who wrote the Bible?
Jesus.
Jesus wrote the Bible?
I think so.
The Bible, how do we know the Bible is not something that was written by somebody that just wanted to make a story?
Me, Angel, and Sully were having a conversation the other day.
Obviously, somebody had to write the Bible because it just doesn't pop out of nowhere, you know?
To me, the Bible is just a bunch of stories that people made up so people can
exactly.
be afraid of God.
Yes, right. Exactly.
So they can learn what kind of rules they have to follow. Why should I believe in God?
You should believe in God.
Because he helps you open up to other people and to do good and be good.
If you believe in love, you should believe in God, because God is love.
You were chosen out of all the other sperm and eggs.
Oh, great.
Come together and create life, to create cells, to make you who you are.
I'm just saying, if he does exist, where is he? Why has he showed up in the world?
Finally!
You know, is he waiting for global warming to happen? I mean, where's God, you know? My question is, where is God?
What do you think about God, Nikki?
He's great.
What do you believe in him so strongly?
Because he created who you are. I mean, without him, you have no life, you have no existence. It's just blank, black, nothing.
What about proof?
We have proof of the Big Bang Theory that everything existed in one little piece of matter 13 billion years ago. We have evidence of that, okay?
Right.
Where's the evidence of God?
There doesn't necessarily have to be proof. And if you hear on stories, you know, they found Noah's Ark, they found, you know, Jesus.
They never found Noah's Ark, Nikki.
Actually, they did.
No.
They found pieces of it.
No, they thought they found some plank, but it didn't date as old as Noah's Ark. That was all that they found ever.
And how do you know? God works in mysterious ways.
Well, don't you think that's some kind of excuse people give you for things that they don't know the answers to? Honestly? I'm always asking my parents questions like, you know, how come there's some really nice people who have it really, really bad, and then there's some really bad people, evil people, who get everything they want in life? And they're like, well, God works in mysterious ways, honey.
Well, because everyone everyone's going to go through the rough times. It's just like a test, you know. Sure, people are, you know, there's some people who are really, really nice and, you know,
and that's just another excuse for something you don't know. And you can't say that it's not true. You can't say it's not an excuse. You're just saying that because you don't know the answer either. Am I right?
No.
You have to be honest.
After hearing my story, I can guarantee that you guys won't believe what happened to me next. But here it is. I had a dream where I was walking around my neighborhood, seeing all these people that I hadn't seen in years. Friends, family. For some reason, my eyes began to water, and the thought that I wasn't coming back started sinking in. I reached my doorstep, and to my left, I could see three big steps. At the top of them, God stood, looking down at me. Are you gonna come with me, son? I started crying. I'm sorry, God, I can't. And I stepped through my door. I've been always afraid to be wrong. But now I know you're up there. I've realized all the bad times that you helped me get through. And now, I'll just wait for another time for us to meet again.
So that was Should I Believe in God from a student from Curie Youth Radio. And you guys picked that out. It's posted to Vocalo.org.
Yeah, that was, for us, a really cool piece and an example of just the great stuff that the kids are doing. And I say kids, but, you know, teenagers.
Kids and these days.
Yeah, all the kids. But it reminded me of when I went to go see the Teen Poetry Slam a couple of years ago, and how these kids, you know, 15, 16, 17 years old, getting up there and talking about these really intense issues, you know, religion and politics and not fitting in and being so eloquent about it. And that's what I thought about when I heard this piece, about how eloquent it really was through sound.
Yeah, really. Do you know the story of Curie Youth Radio? Do you know who those folks are?
I do. I know of Curie Youth Radio. I don't know probably the exact story, but I know what it's all about.
Yeah, it's a class at Curie High School on the Southwest Side, and the teacher is taught by an English teacher who thought this would be a way to teach writing in a way that, you know, made sense. It's like, well, you're writing about yourself and you're writing for an audience. So, you know, thinking about audience suddenly makes revision matter. You know, it means there's a reason to think about structure. And because it's your voice and your peers are hearing it, you know, they're just like, okay, it's going to sound pretty dumb if I don't put some thought into it and some energy into it.
And writing for how this fits into the larger community as a whole, I think, and that's, again, why we do – part of the reason why we do what we do is because we have this really intense notion of community and sound and radio and journalism. And, you know, it gets me all choked up when I talk about it, but really, that's what we feel people should be doing, is pieces like that and talking about these issues. And obviously, the Curie Youth Radio is one great way that this is happening.
And I like how that kid, for lack of a better term, came up with such a universal, you know, thought that everybody's gone through. Everybody's gone through thinking about God, thinking about their place in the world. And following the piece you played from us before, about the required moment of silence and the guy who was so opposed to it. Yeah. I thought that was a nice juxtaposition of those two pieces. And frankly, when I was listening to it, I found the end kind of surprising.
Yeah. Well,
uplifting and hopeful.
Yeah. And he says, like, okay, you're totally not going to believe what I'm about to say.
Right. It's one of those moments. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And when you can take a universal theme like that everybody's gone through and present it in such a creative and, you know, a great way for everybody to listen to, I think that's a great accomplishment for these students.
Yeah. Well, you know, we love, and you guys have your own, was mentioning it, you guys have your own show, Outside the Loop Radio, here on WLUW, and you podcast it.
Yes.
And Andy and Mike, you guys are here with us today because you've been contributing to Vocalo. Curie Youth Radio posted stuff to Vocalo on this theme of you know, belief right now that we're talking about. And, you know, there's other ways that they're also, you don't have to kind of take a whole English class or be kind of radio, think of yourself as a professional radio maker to contribute to Vocalo. You can just call. We have this number, you know, it's 888-635-1112. And we look for people to call and just tell us what they think. So here, we'll get a little music going under this.
Oh, very professional.
There we go.
Dan, everybody.
There we go.
Bravo.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Because we got, here's a call on this same topic. Oh, no, this is a totally wrong song.
Oh, no.
It's got music.
It's like when we do our show.
Yeah.
No, that's wrong, Andy.
Yeah.
We start over.
Yeah, blame me.
It's, well, it's usually my fault. Andy's a good producer. I'm a moron.
We're going to kick it a cappella then with this, or rather, instrumental. Acapella, we'll just have without music.
Okay.
Here's Scott the Tattooed Atheist, who called in on this on a related theme.
Hi, yeah, this is Scott the Tattooed Atheist. Anyway, I'm just trying out this recording thing for the first time. Anyway, I was recently browsing the internet, and I came across an article called Searching for God in the Brain, and it's on Scientific American's website. You can find that at scientificamerican.com. Basically, the study was done on some Carmelite, 14 Carmelite nuns with MRI scans to study the brain activity of these Carmelite nuns whenever they were recalling any sort of religious experience or whatever you have it. It's quite interesting that they found several different locations of the brain that were activated whenever these nuns felt close to God, if you will. Researchers are hopeful that by doing the studies, they might be able to actually replicate this activity in the brain for those of you people who may have depression or whatnot, maybe to you know, enliven their life, you know, enliven them, make them feel a little bit better. The thing that I found interesting about the article, however, was that they said that when they've done these studies on people like myself who are atheists, they have difficulty finding any activity. So I find this interesting. It leads me to believe that religious experience in the brain is just that. It's the brain activity and it's nothing more. However, I'm sure someone who's religious would argue that this is proof of God. I don't know. It's very, very interesting posit. I'd like to get a little bit more information about this, but I do find it quite fascinating. You can check out my blog at http://www.americanscott.blogspot.com. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Let Forever Be by the Chemical Brothers. I'm Dan here at Voclo with Mike, Stephen, Andy Herman.
Hello,
get,
Dan.
Yes, did sir. I get that right?
You did.
I didn't transpose your names.
We should have little name placards. You know, we should have brought those in. We actually do. We joked about this. We were on a new media panel. I know It's very shocking that we were on
the Illinois Humanities Council actually invited us to a new media panel.
And seeing as you make podcasts and all that new stuff like the kids are doing nowadays.
All the kids. So they gave us these really nice looking name cards, these name placards, and it says Mike Steven Outside the Loop Radio, Andy Herman Outside the Loop Radio. So we kept them. And like
of course.
The first show that we did after that, Andy, he's like, hold on. I got something. Hold on. He goes into his bag and he pulls out this name placard when we're on the air, and he puts it there and he's like, I just want everyone to know that I've got my name placard out, ready to do the show like a professional. So we should have brought those in.
That's okay. It's okay.
Next time.
We got you. We got you covered. We'll make a little name tags for you. But so we've got a new interview from you guys, new little piece from you from Outside the Loop. You're exploring, you're the new technology guys. You're exploring some old technology.
Andy, we are somewhat of social scientists here on this radio show. I like to think.
You like to think.
That's about it. No one else does. We have talked before about how we wonder if payphones are still relevant. Do people still use payphones? Because everything is all about the cell phone. I've got my cell phone right here.
I have mine behind me.
Knocking it on the microphone. Everyone's got a cell phone.
And the payphones are disappearing.
They are. It's like you used to be able to walk down the street and there could be a phone booth. Mm-hmm. Clark Kent would go in there.
That's right.
Change his outfit into the tights. Where's he going to go, by the way, to change his outfit?
I don't know.
He's going to have to go into the U.S. Cellular store or something like that. But there aren't a whole lot of payphones around anymore, so that got us to think over here at Outside the Loop Radio HQ, do payphones still matter? So we tried this experiment. We tried calling a payphone or two. And it failed miserably.
Yeah, that was our very first episode of Outside the Loop Radio.
OTL number one.
Yes, OTL number one. It was my grand idea, and it didn't work.
It failed.
It failed miserably.
We're going to try it again, though, because like any good social scientist, even if we are defeated, we come back that much stronger. So what follows is our payphone experiment here on Outside the Loop. And we'll be calling, let's see here, we'll be calling down to Union Station. Where all the choo-choos are, Andy.
All right.
Let's call
cool.
Union Station.
I enjoy Union Station.
Here we go.
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
This is just a payphone at a train station.
This is Union Station, right?
I guess, yeah.
This is Mike Steven from Outside the Loop Radio, and we're just calling some payphones, wondering, do people still use payphones? Are they still useful? Because they're up to 50 cents now, aren't they?
I don't know. I don't use payphones.
See, when's the last time you used a payphone? Because we were talking here in the studio. I honestly don't know the last time I used a payphone.
I honestly can't remember.
What are you doing? You're just passing through?
Yeah, pretty much.
And why did you pick up the phone, just out of curiosity?
Because it was ringing.
Because it was ringing. That's good.
I'm curious as to why the payphone was ringing.
Have you picked up other payphones before?
No. I'm bored. Needed something to do.
What's your name? You don't have to give me your full name. What's your first name?
Zach.
Zach, and what do you do? You're from around here?
No, I live in Cincinnati.
What are you doing in Chicago?
I was taking a train that ended up being 4 hours late, so they hooked me up with a ticket for the Greyhound, and so I'm just biding my time till when the bus leaves.
Chicago, you've been to Chicago a lot. Do you know people in Chicago? What do you think of the city?
I've never really stayed here, but I've been here a few times. I've been to O'Hare Airport. I've been in and out of there. This is my second time in the train station. It looks like a pretty nice city, from what I can tell.
Well, I've lived here a very long time. It is nice. Now, Cincinnati, I know that you got some good stuff down there. You got Grater's ice cream. You got Skyline Chili, right?
Yes, we've got Grater's and Skyline. We've also got La Rosa's pizza.
I don't know what that is, but I'll take your word for it.
It's a fairly good home-style pizza.
Well, Zach, I want to wish you well on your travels. And really, you know, I think now whenever you see a payphone, you'll maybe think twice or just think about the time when you talk to some random dude on the other end. But really, payphones are a dying breed. And what happens when your cell phone maybe craps out? You don't have anything. You have no means of communication long distance. You're going to need a payphone. So I think it might behoove all of us to keep a couple extra quarters in our pockets.
Yeah, probably.
Don't be too excited about it now, Zach. All right. Well, I'll let you go on your way. You've got Grater's Ice Cream and Skyline Chili waiting for you at home.
All right.
Thanks for picking up.
Bye.
Bye-bye now. Zach, everybody.
Fantastic.
That was Zach. What a nice guy.
He was. Well, he said he was bored. He was waiting.
Nice Cincinnati boy.
And I don't know. I think if I heard a payphone ringing, I might pick it up now.
And who knows, maybe there'll be some wacky radio station calling you, Andy.
Yeah.
Yes, this is a bit we're calling payphone. Stay there because you just won tickets to go see Korn.
Oh, come on. This was a social experiment.
It was a social experiment.
Don't short sell us, man. Come on.
I would never do a thing like that, not on this fine radio program. But payphones, people still pay attention to them. They're somewhat relevant. And so concludes our scientific and very credible payphone experiment here on Outside the Loop Radio.
Good afternoon, Washington Dearborn platform. You're Halton and Roosevelt. Take the Roosevelt Monitor 12 bus going east. Just ask the driver. We want Canal Street. And which way are you facing? Are you facing the tennis court there, or are you facing the empty lots where Maxwell Street used to be? Canal Street is 3 blocks from where you're at. One intersection before the bridge and one intersection after the... Are you sober, sir? Are you sober? Are you sober or have you had some spirits? Oh, I see. Okay, that explains it. Don't talk to anyone else or you are dead meat. Yeah, you'll get rolled. These crackheads can smell money, son. They can smell it, so you best get on your way and ask a police officer or a bus driver. Do not ask anyone else or you will be robbed. Good luck to you, sir. Happy October. Happy October to you now. Happy October. Lord Jesus, help this young man find his way. This prayer, Lord Jesus.
Just LOV's on the track. Why? Just LOV's on the track. Why? Yeah. Just LOV's on the track. Uh-huh. Just LOVs on the track.
Yeah, we all got the light within, suppressed by dark clouds. But throw trash in the streets while our oppression, we just keep on recycling. Drug dealer, thug type, I might have been banging in the streets while we fight within. Common sense say, buy some land while we can't own homes or something other than mics and bands. Media and the man try to define what we are. Ignorant probably cause we put spinners on. Ugly cars, I'd appreciate if you ain't spend your funds on fun and things that depreciate over time. Fighting to get back in this game is overtime. Wish I had control over minds to go back and scrap this bad rap before we'd ever hit the pad. I had control over my mind and my God got control over my heart and soul in every line, nothing less. That's why just love, just seal, another cash, just a mess. Hip hop, about as dead as we are. Only reason it would have been cause these whack dudes danced it into the ER. Yeah, yeah. And it go hip hop and it don't stop. What hip hop and it don't stop. Yeah, hip hop and it don't stop. What hip hop and it don't stop.
The love of my life is
yeah,
like
yeah, hip hop and it don't stop. What hip hop and it don't stop. Hip hop and it don't stop.
Except when it actually does
stop. But yeah.
Yeah. Illuminator.
Flip it up on y'all real quick.
This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why. This is why. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why. This is why. This is why I'm hot. I'm hot cause I'm fly. You ain't cause you not. This is why. This is why. This is why I'm hot. I'm hot cause I'm. Hold up. I can't even do that. Let me go like this. Yeah. Yo. Yo, forget your temperature forecast. I'm blasting raps that get in the track, that orgasmic, that's it. I'm coming with something to get buck wild, like white girls, Flavor Flav say I got style. When I'm typing, I spit it lightning. Gotta write exciting, big hype man. I'm a pen pusher, diction dope boy. Yes, manifest into rap's new hope boy. Yeah. So I'm killing them, pillaging, I utilize them. Dope, sick, fresh, them just my name synonyms. Getting them, I'm a smooth dude. Never stutter, cause the groove, sun cats like dude. When your mother eye from the ghost, south side, here we done it. Take it from the low end to the wild, wild hundreds. And ignorant kids like beasts that bang. So I keep a playing this when I speak my slang. So F gimmicks, F looks, F frills. Cause we ain't got much, but we got just ill. So cop it. Flow's cold, so we rock it doing this here. Them dudes got the product and it's just ill, just ill, just ill, and it's just ill, just ill, just ill, and it's just ill, just ill, just ill, and it's just ill, just ill, just ill.
It's Daily Lyrical Product. They are a local band, and they were recorded right here in the studios here at Vocaloid.org.
Oh, wow. That sounded great.
Yeah, didn't it?
Wow.
Yeah, pretty cool. The performance studio right across the hall over there. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, nice stuff. Nice stuff. They're called Why I'm Hot. That's a little adaptation of last summer's tune. And then so we heard your interview with whoever picked up, that nice boy from Cincinnati picked up the payphone.
Zach.
Our friend Zach.
Zach. Yeah. And then we heard another payphone conversation. This from the other side.
Mm-hmm.
That was a woman you may have seen one time on the subway. Her name is Tampico. She's a performer on the subway. She's kind of a one-man band.
Oh.
And she plays – I first met her on the subway platform. I heard like a flamenco guitar and then I heard a violin coming in. I was like, oh, those things sound great together. I wonder who those two people are. And then I started hearing percussion. I walked over and it's one person.
Wow.
She's finding a way to she's able to kind of strum and bow at the same time. Then she just taps on her shoes, and she does this really amazing thing that she's been doing in the subways for like 20 years, it turns out. And she'd been doing, and her song that she plays is written for the subway, kind of ebbs and flows with the tune. And then that clip is from a little documentary made by a woman in Chicago named Suri Tofignia, who spent a year or so following Tampico around.
Wow. Do you remember what L stop you were at?
Well, it may have been the Washington Dearborn platform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are a lot of performers around there. You get some around Chicago. But, you know, we typically, well, I guess Washington, I don't know if it's still closed, but the Blue Line to the Red Line, there were a lot of performers
In
between in that tunnel.
Yeah.
Then on the platforms, too.
Yeah.
We're in the wrong business.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this scheduled transmission to bring you an announcement of national importance from the White House in Washington, D.C.
Peace is the ultimate power.
Ladies and gentlemen,
peace is the ultimate power.
You don't say!
Ladies and gentlemen,
you don't say!
Peace is the ultimate
You're listening to
the ultimate power.
You're listening to Vocaloid.org.
The Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the United States of America, from whom we stand. I can't remember any of it.
And to the republic for which she stands.
Yeah, man. I had to memorize that. I had to grow up knowing that.
Of course, you had to stand with your hand over your heart, like little soldiers.
I spent 10 years in the Green Beret, including Vietnam, and I got to where I'd look up and see an American flag. Man, that was a real experience. Still is. Still has.
As far as it having any meaning or anything to me, it doesn't. None at all.
We're not a melting pot, because you cannot take all the cultures that are here in the United States of America and throw them into one pot and come out with a quote-unquote un-American.
I grew up on a ranch in eastern Oregon, a place called Roseburg.
I was born in Puerto Rico, small little town called Mayagüez.
Atlanta, Georgia.
Washington, D.C.
I'm with the Mandan Hidatsa, Fort Berthold Indian Reservation.
I'm from the north of England, Yorkshire.
400 kilometers west of Istanbul.
The day I became a citizen, I had someone from Nigeria next to me and a girl from Ireland on the other side of me, and we hugged and kissed.
I love being an American, an African American.
When I came to the United States, I was 19, and I think that was already too old to get the right accent.
I had to leave the country for political reasons.
If we go back to China, probably no chance to come out again.
We're not a melting pot. We're more like a tossed salad. And each ingredient in that salad gives the salad flavor.
Wherever you are, it doesn't matter. You always have one objective, serve the mankind.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly...
I don't remember it.
Through the dawn's early...
You know why? Because now I sing the National Negro Anthem.
Lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring. Ring with the harmony.
One nation, under God.
Indivisible. What does it mean, indivisible?
To the republic for which it falls.
Indivisible, liberty and justice for all. You.
For you.
What does that mean, that we're one nation and we're not divisible?
Is it just like saying there's one God?
That's how I kind of see it, for it's a prayer.
And the part that I get disenchanted with is the liberty and justice for all.
I think it's something we've lived by. We did in World War II. We really believed all that stuff.
And I said, and to the republic
for which
it stands, one nation indivisible with liberty and justice for all. It's poetic, you know? It has a rhythm, it has a cadence.
Some child somewhere is listening to those words and they're thinking about it. Maybe the next senator or president is thinking about it and saying, hey, I should make a difference. I should actually make this happen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America
and to the republic
for which it stands,
one nation
under God,
indivisible,
with liberty
and justice,
with liberty
and justice,
with liberty and justice for all.
Bang! I love it! Incoming!
The Pledge by Vocalista Hear Vox here at Vocalo.org, here with Mike Steven and Andy Herman from Outside the Loop Radio. You guys have been posting to Vocalo.org. You're here guest hosting, and you said, and you asked you to pick out some things you liked here, and that was one of the things you picked.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting, the cross-section of people that was in that piece, and I loved that so many people had trouble with with the Pledge and you know, They kept messing it up. Well, wait, isn't the flag? But wait, isn't the? I mean, we hear it all the time, but how many people actually know it? And I think that's kind of interesting.
Right. Yeah.
But I thought there was also, I mean, like I said, the cross section of people. You had some, you know, I think you had a veteran in there at one point. You had kids. You had minorities, and I think that was another reason why the piece was so cool, is because it brought together so many different people. Just of different backgrounds, but yet, you know, we think of America, and I think the stereotype is, well, white male, but really, like that woman said, it's like this. It's not really a melting pot. It's this tossed salad of sorts, and where there's all different kinds of flavoring that make up this country, this culture that is American. I think that's kind of interesting.
And speaking of salads, here's another piece that you guys asked for us to play.
What's the most disgusting thing you've ever eaten?
Liver. I ate liver without realizing it was liver, and it was, it's got like a metallic taste to it that just never sits well.
In Sweden, they fed us a dish of tripe and pickled herring that was pretty bad. And it was like a stew, so it was like a salty, tripey, nasty stew, and it was pretty gross. But I ate it because I was a guest.
Say haggis.
You've eaten haggis?
Yeah, it's pretty gross. It's just like innards and like blood and stomach and.
People think that's very good, Ashley. It's a delicacy in Scotland, although I never tried it.
I thought it was gross.
I swallowed a live goldfish once. That's probably the grossest thing I've ever eaten.
Why'd you do that?
Just because somebody told me that I wouldn't, and I had to show them that I would.
Was it someone's like pet goldfish, or did you buy it from a store just to eat it, or?
It was actually my goldfish, but, like, my mom was making us get rid of our pet, so, like, we had to get rid of them, and, like, I was just like, all right, I'm going to swallow it.
That's savage.
It was pretty savage.
Ketchup.
You don't like ketchup?
I hate it. It's disgusting. It turns my stomach.
Maybe a moldy piece of bread. I don't know.
I disagree. The grossest thing he ever ate was last summer. He ate an old, cold buckwheat pancake covered in nasty avocado. It was disgusting.
That sounds way worse than a moldy piece of bread.
Pretty bad. Pretty bad. I don't know, though.
It was by choice.
It was covered in avocado?
It's the only two things we had in the house to eat were old breakfast leftovers and this rotting avocado. And so we took the avocado, just spread it on there like it was syrup, and ate the whole damn thing.
I think that the pancake had actually been syruped several hours before when it was prepared, and it had just gotten cold and soggy. And for some reason, I thought it would be a good idea. I was going through a big avocado stage, I think, and decided to spread it on there, and it didn't make me want to spit it out. It was such an awful texture. It was just really bad, yeah.
Yet you kept eating it.
I did finish it. I did finish the whole thing. That's right.
Grapefruit.
Grapefruit?
I don't like grapefruit.
This is Vocalo.org, WBEW Chesterton, 89.5 FM.
Everybody wants to be a cat. Cause the cat's the only cat who knows where it's at. Everybody's picking up on that feline beat. Cause everything else is obsolete. Now a square with a home makes you wish you weren't born every time he plays. With a square in the act, he can set music back. Stuff like that when everybody wants to be a cat.
These are the sounds of a radio. So there's a piece called Radio Sounds. It's by a woman named Alicia France, who was a sound collector in Chicago. And I'm here at Vocalo. I'm here with Andy Herman and Mike Steven. And you guys wanted to play this today. She collected this. This is the sound of an old radio that she had and kind of different sounds that came out of it that she strung together.
I think that there's something really pretty that comes out of this. I mean, we think of an old radio and what, oh, it's an old junk piece of junk, but there's some rhythm to this. There's some, mathematical formula that is in some way, shape, or form pleasurable to the ear, I think. Andy?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Alicia was somebody who could hear these rhythms, these sounds that not everybody notices just in the real world. You know, the sounds of traffic, the sounds of wind. She would just collect everything she heard, and it was really, I think this is a fascinating thing to listen to.
It is. It is. And you know, I noticed you use the past
right.
tense. There was a person. There's a sad story that goes along with this clip.
Yeah, Alicia was a young woman whose life was not fully realized. She died on her 32nd birthday. Was hit on her bike on Division Street under the expressway or the metro tracks. And it was just, she died on her birthday. And I didn't know her. Mike didn't know her. I don't believe you knew her, Dan.
I did not know her.
But I feel, I've always felt there, it was just devastatingly sad. And I think it was not just because it was another life lost, but because she was a collector of sound. You know, that's kind of what we do. What we try to do for a living here. And I don't know, I've always kind of felt a connection, and I live near there now. There's a memorial posted.
It's called a ghost bike.
A ghost bike is still there two plus years later.
And a ghost bike, for anyone who's never seen one, is a memorial to someone who died on a bike, essentially, in the city. It's a bike painted all white, sometimes decorated with flowers, and with a plaque on it, essentially saying who it's commemorating.
And it's powerful. I live just down the street from Andy, actually, right off Division in Chicago. And it's, you know, when you go by there, and sometimes you forget about it, and then you'll be slowing down to go to the light, mm-hmm. and you'll see it, and it's just you pause in your car. I mean, really. And I don't know how many people maybe know about what it is, but I think when you see it, you get the idea, and it's pretty powerful.
I was by there not that long ago and wound up taking a picture, but I've got it on my computer upstairs now. I'll post a picture of it to the playlist here.
Vocal. Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great.
We're going to let this play. We've got another piece of real kind of interesting sound collections that you guys asked for. And we'll just say that it's from the Cook County Juvenile Detention Center, and then we'll let it speak for itself. Let's let this sound play out here now.
In the TV area.
Ain't you supposed to be going to places?
It's gonna strike me because, man, I ain't used to be gone. I ain't used to being gone that long from my family. I always was around my family close. You know what I'm saying? But then again, it is better for me to go to placement because it's better than me serving 6 to 30 years. Man, 6 to 30 years, half of my life.
Basically, what I think about going to DOC is gonna hurt when I leave. You know,
I just got to accept.
Be gone for so long. I don't know how much time I'm gonna have. But it'll be better that if I just know what type of how much time I'll have already for this.
I'm going out there for a year and 9 months.
I don't know, man. As you know already, I'll be going to DOC this Thursday. You know, I just was going to be kind of hard on me being over there because over here, at least I got to see my family, you know. The times they could be able to come, you know, they ain't got no car. I was the only one that know how to drive in the family. They had to come over here and bus. You know, the weather is kind of, you know, crazy in Chicago.
I got my little sister and little brother in my
head. I don't know how they're going to do it or make it or get out there to see me, you know. You know, but I understand them. You know, they won't be able to go as much as they can over here.
I ain't never thought, you know,
hopefully they'll find somebody that will be able to take them over there and stuff. You know, and also I'm happy because over there, being over there, I'll be able to see my baby, my girlfriend more than I used to be able to see her. I was here been here for 2 months and never got to see him until just yesterday, recently. I got to hold him in my arms again. And it's been, you know, long and it feels weird. I just want to go and do my time and get out and straighten up.
Hopefully they could take my GED over there. Like they say, you don't know what you got until you ain't around anymore. You know, it's just, it came down so hard on me, you know, all because of the stupid mistakes I did and all the other stuff. You know, trying to prove other things to people you don't even know to prove. You don't need to prove nothing to nobody but yourself. That's basically it. Hopefully I just get out soon and be back with them once again.
Precious Lord.
Precious Lord.
Make it truly thankful.
Make it truly thankful.
For the food we're about to receive.
For the food we're about to receive.
Bless our mind.
Bless our mind.
Body.
Body.
And soul.
And soul.
In Christ's name.
In Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen.
That was a recording made by Michael Piazza and folks from the Experimental Sound Studio and kids who lived in the Cook County Juvenile Detention Center. And I guess here are Mike Herman and and Andy Herman. I'm getting them mixed up finally after
when
an hour.
When we tie the knot, yeah. It will be Mike Herman. You're taking my last name, Andy.
You are the producers of Outside the Loop Radio, and we're playing some of your own interviews here, but this is a piece that you asked to hear from vocalo.org. And do you know the story of that?
I don't. I know where the sounds came from,
yeah.
And really why it appealed to me is just because just thinking about these sounds and being so young and taking, I mean, your lives are definitely going down a path you don't want them to go down, and you're taken from your family and everything you know, and then you're thrown into this culture of, well, you heard.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of loneliness, anger,
mm-hmm.
And at such a young age, I can't even fathom that.
Yeah, it's amazing. There's a so what happened was that Michael Piazza went to this is a dozen years ago, I think, went there and brought recorders to the kids, and they made a sonic map. They actually kind of mapped the whole place out, and this is kind of a map in space and time through a day at that
cool
at that center. Yeah, we have been getting at vocalo.org. I wanted to play this for you guys, and we've been on this kind of telephone theme also for the last hour. We've been getting calls from prison. I don't know if you've heard any.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay, this is cool. I think I saw something about that on your website or heard about this.
We encourage everybody to call our number if you got a story to tell, and so I'll put it out here right now. It's 888-635-1112. So, you know, question. Have you been in prison? What is it like for you? What do you take away from it? Or what if you haven't, you know, what do you imagine it being like? If you just heard that story, what would that be like? This is our friend Jacoby who called that number, and this is what he had to say.
Hello, Vocalo. This is OB1 Jacoby calling you from Lakeside Correctional Facility. Yes, this is a minimum security prison outside the wall of Michigan City. Doing a little time here, and I keep a blog on MySpace, and I have my mom post them for me. This one is called Who's Been Sitting in My Chair? Originally penned July 20th, 07. Hey man, that's my seat, I say diplomatically. I don't see your name on it, he responds with such childlike mockery that I flinch with double take, not entirely knowing how to react to his nonsense. It's funny how I probably haven't heard this ridiculous line of reasoning since middle school, and then it was dated, but even in my youth, for some unknown cause, this comment seriously irked me. It always made me wish that I'd gone around carving my name into every possible chair in preparation for just such a challenge. Oh, you don't see my name in it, eh? Well, you're not looking hard enough, you moron, because it's right there. But alas, I had done no preemptive carving then, just as I had not done any here, and yes, it irked me. Come on, bro, I was just sitting there. Give me back my chair, I demand. Why don't you make me? He whines in a voice that would tilt even the toughest dog's head. Okay, now, seriously, where did he acquire such an astounding repertoire of elementary-level smart-ass remarks? Is there like a book of these damn things entitled Johnny's Fourth Grade Collection of Quippy Comebacks lying around somewhere collecting dust, at the same time forever preserving for posterity the infantile things we once said to each other thinking we were clever? And if such a manual does exist, aren't we supposed to read and laugh at our then unrefined capacities towards sarcastic device while making mental notation to strike the cited immature adages from our vernacular? I don't think you got that memo. For real, I just got up to get a drink of water and came right back, I inform him. It's my chair now. What are you going to do about it? He challenges. By this point, I see that I am sorely outmatched by his wit. I assume he not only owns a copy of the aforementioned reference material, but he must have it memorized in its entirety. In fact, he could probably give old Johnny a run for his money in an old-fashioned, snappy retort-off-style duel. So, needless to say, I stand no chance in this realm. I wave my white flag of surrender and retire from the verbal warfare before my overwhelmed vocabulary gets hurt. But I find myself at an impasse. He did ask me a direct question, and though I am unable to fire back with the juvenile arsenal that he is armed with, I will be answering his question in one way or another. What am I going to do about it? There seems to be two possibilities, polar opposite in their nature, that rise to the occasion. The first course of action being nothing. I do nothing about him gangstering my seat from me and thereby lose face in front of all the other inmates who are now eagerly awaiting my response. But what about door number two? Something. So, it's like that, I query. Yeah, it's like that, he confirms. I look around to see if there's a guard in the nearby vicinity, which there is not. When my gaze falls back upon him, he has just enough time to flash me a look of surprise as my clenched fist is flying directly at his face. My knuckles connect on the spot from his upper lip to the base of his nose, making a loud packing sound reminiscent of dropping a store-bought bag of ice on the concrete to break it up. The perfect form of my punch, snap rotation of the waist, follow through with the shoulder, sends him soaring out of his chair, my chair, to the floor with a thud. Oh, he got knocked the fuck out, I hear somebody exclaim joyously, accompanied by a roar of laughter and other similar comments. As I reclaim my seat, I look down, seeing that he is indeed unconscious, nose pouring blood like a double-barreled faucet, with a fresh gap where a top front tooth used to occupy. As he starts to come to, he utters a guttural sound, and looks up at me with what must be a mixture of confusion, anger, and fear. I glance down at him nonchalantly and politely ask, "Oh, I'm sorry. Were you sitting here?" This is the story explaining how I landed myself in the hole, better known as solitary confinement, for 30 days with nothing but this pen and paper to entertain myself with. This event has also caused me losing my good time. I am now serving the full 1 year of my sentence rather than being released after 6 months for good behavior. Furthermore, it is the reason that, after getting out of the hole, I will be transferred from this minimum security facility to a medium security penitentiary now that I am considered a violent offender. All over a chair, and my decision to do something. Well, this all could be true, but thankfully, my friends, this is not how it went down. For when the time came to make my decision on what to do about the Goldilocks sitting in my chair, I did pause and look around whilst considering violence, but you know what else I did? I used my head. I thought about the previously outlined consequences of doing something and decided it wasn't worth it. I chose to do nothing. But really, choosing to practice nonviolence is not simply doing nothing. And in all actuality, it takes a bigger man to make this choice. Not in the face of fear, because let me tell you, I would have taken Goldilocks out. But in the realization that violence is never right. It never solves the problem or resolves the issue. Would resorting to physical battery until one of us submitted have determined who rightfully deserved the chair? Honestly, it wasn't even about the chair. It never is. It all comes down to primal animal instinct, wanting to establish dominant alpha male status among the group, some real Neanderthal caveman which I'd like to think that I've evolved beyond. So, choosing nonviolence is something, and practicing it in a place like prison, a place steeped in violent nature, is truly something special. By practicing, I mean not only adhering to its principles and applying them in my own life, but promoting and preaching peaceful ways to others around me. With tempers flared, adrenaline pumping, and testosterone running high, this is not always an easy task, but worth the effort every time. When a violent altercation is quashed and a peaceful resolution is found, this is most certainly something amazing. In the end, I let Goldilocks have the seat, assuring him that it wasn't that important to me. I walked off with a smile, which, by the look on his face, he wasn't expecting. Later that same day, I was walking laps around the track, lost in thought. He approached and said, "Hey, you mind if I walk with you for a minute?" course not, be my guest, I replied. About that earlier, I'm sorry. I was in an effed up mood that had nothing to do with you. Are we cool? He asked. Water under the bridge, brother, I assured him. Apology accepted.
You want it, you got it.
This is a journey into
the most exciting sounds around.
You found Vocalo.org.
It comes to us through our ancestral bloodline, collective work responsibility for our global economics and political destiny.
I want to say that I'm an African. I celebrate Kwanzaa because I'm an African.
Kwanzaa time soon here at Vocaloid.org. I'm Dan. I'm here with Mike Steven and Andy Herman from Outside the Loop Radio. We were just playing for them a story about our friend Obi-Wan Jacoby in prison in Indiana, talking about losing his privileges. And actually, he's gonna be well before we meet Mr. Jacoby, because he got into a fight in prison, and he's spent 30 days in the hole, and he lost his good time. So he's gonna be in prison for a full year instead of for just 6 months that he was hoping to do. But now we are gonna talk about some good times. We have Kwame Steve Cobb with us here. Steve Cobb, welcome to Vocalo.
Well, thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. And we heard that was your music. That was It's Kwanzaa Time from your record Seven Principles.
Yes, that's the first complete contemporary collection of original songs for Kwanzaa. And, of course, my wife and I, we wrote this in 1992. So it's about 14 years old now, 13, 14 years old.
Mm-hmm. But it just gets better with age.
Yeah, it is. It's a classic, and every year, just like Christmas carols come back, this piece comes back. It's a classic now. It's kind of like that song that you played is kind of like the national anthem of Kwanzaa celebrations in many places across the country and indeed in other countries as well. We also have a song for each one of the principles of Kwanzaa. Of course, there are seven principles of Kwanzaa, those being Umoja, which is unity, Umoja unity, Kujichagulia self-determination, Ujima collective work and responsibility, Ujamaa cooperative economics, Nia purpose, Kuumba creativity, and Imani faith. And so we have a song for each one of those principles. And again, Kwanzaa is a celebration of a family, community, and culture created by Dr. Maulana Karenga in 1966.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Seven Principles, 40 years of celebrating Kwanzaa. We're summing it all up really quickly. Mike and Andy, I'd like to ask you if you have any questions for Mr. Cobb.
Yeah, well, you know, you talked a little bit about what Kwanzaa is, but I think there's that automatic association that Kwanzaa is the Black Christmas, and it's like a Christmas celebration for African Americans, and that's not really the case, is it? I think, you know, having you here is good to clear that up.
No, it's not. And that's a very familiar assumption. I'm used to hearing that.
Sure.
And so it is not. It is a cultural holiday. Of course, Christmas is a religious holiday. And ours is a cultural holiday. People who are Christians, some who are Muslims, Yoruba, whatever you are, if you're of African descent, you can celebrate Kwanzaa without being in conflict with any of your spiritual practices or your religious, you know, practices.
And then yourself, you started out as a young man playing drums. You were mesmerized by drums at a very young age on the south side of Chicago.
Yes.
That's how you started out. How did you get to where you are now? I know you've played with a lot of different musicians, but becoming this voice musically for Kwanzaa, what was that journey like for you?
Well, I think there's a network of people who supported my development, you know, from being a very young musician doing talent shows. There were older musicians who saw me playing talent shows and made it possible for me to play in nightclubs with professional musicians when I was like 16. Mm-hmm. It came to my mom and said, you know, he's really talented, he can play. We'd like for him to come and at least sub for our drummer every now and then when he can't make it.
What did your mom say?
Oh, she said, you know, she basically said no. They said, well, we'll make sure that we keep the women off of him and we'll make sure that he doesn't drink any alcohol or smoke anything, you know.
Ladies, lady, the boys got chops.
Yeah, you know, so she agreed to do this, and there was one guy, a cat named Ronnell Powell. He was a guitar player with Joe Evans and the Supersonics, and my first professional gig was at a place called the Green Bunny on 77th and Halsted.
Is it still there?
No.
Green Bunny.
I think the police station's parking lot is there now. You know?
But what was it about the drums that spoke to you?
I was about four or five. And Inglewood's marching band, because I stayed on 59th and Princeton, You know, I remember. And Inglewood is on like 63rd and Lower, something like that. And their marching band was coming from Sherwood Park. They'd done something down there, and they were marching down Princeton. I could hear them a block off the drum line. You know what I'm saying? And I was just mesmerized. I could not wait to see them, you know. And from that point on, it kind of triggered something in me, and I've just been playing ever since. And so early on, after doing talent shows and that type of thing and getting a chance to play in clubs, you know, the word got around, because we heard about other musicians who were young musicians that were really up and coming, and of course they heard about me and that kind of thing. And eventually I was able to join a band called the T-Box Band, and they used to play, they played behind a group called Simtek and Wally.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember? It's an old song. They had a hit called Do It Like Mama. You know? And I thought I was going to get to play with them, but actually when I got in the group, they left Simtek and Wally, you know. And, and so we ended up starting a group called From the Womb to the Tomb, which later turned into Bosco. And we became Bosco as a result of my having, and well, this was the turbulent, you know, late 60s, so to speak.
Right, right.
And I also had the good fortune of going through a place called the Topographical Research Center, which is on 75th and Champlain. And they had a tour that they gave that kind of gave you the socioeconomic and political realities of being African in America. So that was enlightening for me. Plus, there was a place called the Commune University, which is at Northeastern Center for Inner City Studies, and they had Saturday classes, you know, and that helped to raise my consciousness. And I began to get to a point where I could see that the music was a perfect conduit through which I could transmit these concepts and ideas I was learning. And I shared this with the guys in the band and eventually began to start to focus our songwriting efforts towards music that was a contribution to the burgeoning, what we call conscious music, I guess, body of work that was going on in the 60s and 70s. Because everybody, of course, no matter what kind of recording you had, you always had a conscious music song on there, one, you know,
yeah,
at least.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so we just, like, totally went
all
there.
Power
with
to
it.
The people right on.
Yeah, something. You know what I'm saying? So we did that, too. So that's kind of how it started.
So you brought a Bosco record in here right now. I've got it lined up in the CD player. What song should we hear? What number?
I think you maybe should go in maybe two or three tracks, because the intro is kind of long, and then there's a ballad after that.
Okay.
Maybe the third or fourth track might be a little more energetic.
All right. Let's hear track four. Mm-hmm. What's this one called? Do you remember?
As soon as it comes on, I will.
All right. Here
it
comes.
Oh, it's called If I Had My Way.
Yeah.
Man, that was slamming. That was some slamming noise. Man.
Yeah, yeah. This this is a night. No, that was nice. That was nice. Good to hear that again.
Yeah, takes you back. Hey, but you were talking about the Kwanzaa Fest earlier, and I want to know, you know, what you're doing for Kwanzaa, how we can see you, what are the dates of Kwanzaa, and what's your celebration? You know, what should we be coming to check you out live?
Well, we've been doing what we call the Harambe Pre-Kwanzaa Festival for the last 13 years, and this year will be our 14th annual event. And we market this. It's a multimedia show. We call it, I use the reference, it's an Earth, Wind, and Fire type of show, so that people kind of get an idea of the scale and the circus of it, you know. And we've been doing it. We started doing it in 1994 at the Regal Theater, the new Regal Theater on the South Side. It's like a 2,000-seat venue. Mm-hmm. And we market it directly to the school. So it's for Chicago area school children, or I say youth, basically. And then some seniors come and preschoolers and everything. So it's a whole family type of show, but we market primarily to schools. And so we did it there for 7 years, and then about 5 years in, we were doing 6 shows in 5 days, and basically 1,800 was the average. And then when the Regal closed, we went to the AFC World Outreach Center on 78th and Ashland, which is another refurbished a movie house. And so we've now leaving there and going to the House of Hope Arena, which is, some people know it as the home of Salem Baptist Church, where Senator Meeks is pastor. And it is a 10,000-seat venue. Mm-hmm. And we are reaching out to all of Chicago public schools. We're reaching out to Northwest Indiana schools and also South Suburban schools.
Did you say 10,000-seat venue?
10,000-seat venue. Wow. And we will be there on December the 12th. And it's going to be a seriously, seriously exciting show.
December the 12th, bring the whole family.
Yes.
And all races are welcome.
Oh, absolutely.
So all ethnic backgrounds.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
It's not because the Black Christmas, it's Kwanzaa.
It's Kwanzaa. And these principles are universal. Any healthy community is going to be practicing these 7 principles.
And they are again?
Unity, self-determination, collective work and responsibility, cooperative economics, purpose, creativity, and faith.
Isn't cooperative economics an oxymoron, though? I mean, at least in the United States.
Well, in our community, I wish it was, but it's not. You know what I'm saying? You know, so, but that's something we have to work on, you know.
So here's a little bit your percussionist. I want to play for you this thing that Mike and Andy picked out to play. They're here from Outside Loop Radio, and they looked at some on Boklo.org. And this is a bit of percussion. I'm not going to talk about where it's from. I'm just going to play it, but interested to hear your thoughts about it.
Okay.
Time signature was that in? That's what I want to know.
Four.
I guess it's four.
Yeah. Dun, 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 that was nice. Yeah,
so what were they playing? Someone said a radiator.
Yeah.
Kind of close.
On the right track.
Yeah.
It's metal.
It's definitely metal. Yeah. It's actually
the Clark Street Bridge.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. Was it right underneath the Clark Street Bridge, or was it actually on the bridge?
I think it was on the bridge. I'm not sure if it said specifically.
Yeah. Sarah, someone from uploaded that sound to Boklo.org, one named Sarah, and I think she said it was people, and there's a picture of people like kind of leaning over the railing like they're playing like the side of the bridge.
Now, I've played bridges before, and I mean, Chicago bridges are all right, but if you get like a good New York bridge, you know, or a suspension bridge, you get the wire.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Some reverb.
Yeah. I used to also take my classes. The thing is to have a bunch of sticks. You know, and so I'd have a bunch of sticks and mallets, different mallets get different sounds. And I'd take like 12, 13 people up onto a roof. And if you get to the roof of an industrial building, there's all these like aluminum shaped hood things, and then there's metal HVAC jobs, and some of them spin, so you'll be like playing along and getting a rhythm, and something will come on, you get this industrial noise, and then you stick a stick in the fan, it's like I mean, you're talking about some, I mean, this, that was nice, that was sweet,
you know
you're talking about an orchestra on the right roof.
I initially thought I was going to walk out of here with a limp, but he's serious.
I'm not pulling anybody's leg.
Great.
Yeah,
that's
wonderful. I'll have a story about the West Side for you
in this store. You can satisfy every metal craving.
28th and commencement. You don't do this every day.
Give you a wildcat, sir?
Yeah.
You got a wildcat, sir, every day, sir.
Oh, well, I have to find my tap shoes for you. You think that's amazing?
One side says native pride, mm-hmm. And the other side says fighting terrorism since 1492.
I take a shower, brush the teeth, and I fly. Half asleep and half my eyes still on the road.
Vocalo.org.
Disaster's good for business down in New Orleans. I said disaster's good for business, yeah, down in New Orleans. So the greedy could wipe out all the people, they blow the levees clean. Stop the search, down the school, told the law to shoot.
Told the law to shoot, yeah.
The governor stopped the search, down the school, told the law to shoot. They say they gotta stop some folks from eating, while some folks finding food.
This is great. Who is this?
Funkadaisy.
Funkadaisy.
Who's Funkadaisy?
It is, what do you call it?
It's the award-winning band, the most outstanding band, 2007, somehow or another, from the Chicago Music Awards. Yeah. We won the most outstanding band. But Kwame's the drummer for Funkadaisy. Mm-hmm. I play some flute and sax in the band, and it was started by second-generation Punjabis. They grew up in the burbs. But they got back to their roots, but they wanted to put the funk and the reggae in there, so the whole thing's got like tabla and sitar. And
it's cool.
Yeah,
it's very
sounds
cool.
Great.
You know, got it's like the United Nations of
the United Nations of funk.
Yes,
you know. Very nice. We got something that came in today, and that was Enolines.
Yeah, capital N, capital O, Leans. Enolines.
And can we get that anywhere? Can we hear it on Vocalo.org? If we look for it on the site, is there a CD we can get?
You know, we're going to put it in the Vocalo.org rotation, but the CD is not coming out until, I don't know,
late November. Well,
I'm thinking
December.
Let's just say by January 1st, okay. It should be available at a store near you.
Yeah. All right, and this just in from Vocalo.org.
They're dumb as a bag of hammers.
They're dumb as a bag of hammers.
I'm not even kidding.
Dumbass.
They're dumb as a bag of hammers.
They're dumb as a bag of hammers.
I'm not even kidding. I'm not
a dumbass.
Dumb as a bag of hammers.
They're dumb as a bag of hammers.
I'm not even kidding.
I'm not a dumbass.
They're dumb as a bag of hammers.
They're dumb as a bag of hammers.
I'm not even kidding.
I'm not a dumbass.
Dumb as a bag of hammers.
They're dumb as a bag of hammers.
I'm not even kidding.
I'm not a dumbass.
They're dumb as a bag of hammers.
They're dumb as a bag of hammers.
I'm not even kidding.
I'm not a dumbass.
Okay.
That's, as Lloyd, you just put it here, Vocalo, it's like channel surfing while standing still.
That's the way we roll at Vocalo.org.
and it also could be you any minute here on Vocalo.org. This is, that was a long-time vocalist of Spent Cattle, a guy in Southwest Michigan who's been posting to us loyally for months, and that's his very latest, just got posted, called Dumb as a Bag of Hammers.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Not much to say about it. here with Kwame Steve Cobb, with Mike and Andy from Outside the Loop Radio. You guys have been posting to Vocalo.org recently. It's been great, and now you're here hosting here, interviewing Steve. And you gave us a couple of things to play today. Here's something that hasn't been heard yet on Vocalo.org at all.
Oh, God.
And perhaps you'll wish it'd say that way.
Yep.
Once we play it. But here you go. This is your last chance.
Prayers won't help you now.
Can't stop me.
You have 14 saved voice messages.
Wakey, wakey. I got nothing new. I just was thinking about how often we call each other during the day. Anyway, I love you. Call me whenever.
I drink some beers tonight.
I love you. Bye. Driving. I got nothing. You called me with an idea. I like that. That is cool. Anyway, I love you. I don't even know where I'm going. I kind of turned around here. Anyway, I love you. Call me. And, yeah. I love you.
What's up, dude? Call me. Whenever.
What's up?
I'm going over to Jenny's right now. Then we're going to the Bruin View. I'm driving over to Jenny's. She's going to cook me up some dinner, Ski. And probably get hammered. It'll be fun. It's going to be awesome. That's how I roll. Anyway. yeah, about that. So, call me whenever. It's about 5:45. Call me. Anyway, I love you. Call me. Bye. I love you. Anyway, I love you. Bye.
Oh, end of messages.
Fun with audio.
Yep. Yeah. That was me calling Andy. I love him, if you didn't know. Yeah. And be sure cute. To call me back. Well, he's a cute man.
We try to inject, you know, a lot of personality into our show beyond just interviews and you know, trying to catch
stuff.
The stories,
right.
The issue-oriented stuff. This was done unbeknownst to Mike. Mike calls me constantly, and he
about can't, show ideas and
yeah,
stuff, and
well,
we're friends,
and just,
too,
just
obviously.
In general, you right. can't be alone. That's your thing. You always need to be talking with somebody. So I took this montage of messages and played this for him during the show, much to his chagrin.
Yeah, it was great. Thanks for that, by
no
the way.
No problem.
Working so hard.
Would you yeah. imagine, it's not.
You show your love, and he shows passive aggressive.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah.
And this is a way of getting around the law, right? In Illinois, it's not legal. You can't tape somebody either on the phone or in real life without their permission. Mm-hmm. But in this case, you knew you were being taped.
Well, yeah, I did. I mean, it was a voicemail thing. So I knew that I was voluntarily saying, Andy, I love you, and please call me. And I said that many, many times, as you heard. And so that it's all legal. I can't sue him.
I just want to know what Jenny thought when she heard the phone message of...
Oh, Jenny knows I'm an idiot.
Jenny's very confused by our relationship.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, that, you know, she might at that point go,
Yeah, Jenny's a saint.
That Andy loved me.
and so ends another hour of our Vocalo soap opera here on As the World Vocalos. Thank you very much to our guests, Andy and Mike from Outside Loop Radio, Kwame Steve Cobb.
Kwame, one last plug. One last plug
for
the show.
House of Hope, December the 12th. The House of Hope is at 752 East 114th Street, right off the Bishop Ford Freeway. Showtime is at 10:30 a.m.
Is there a number they can call or a website they can go to get tickets or more information?
You can go to Cobbalah, which is CobbalaH.com.
And while we're at it, plugging websites, where do people go aside from Vocalo, where you can hear Outside the Loop Radio, to hear all of Outside the Loop Radio?
Well, thanks for asking. You can go to OutsideTheLoopRadio.com. That's OutsideTheLoopRadio.com for audio archives and podcasts.
And if you want to know more about all these websites and more, go to vocalo.org. We'll post all this information, including the websites for the Kwanzaa, Pre-Kwanzaa Fest, Hambare, and for Outside the Loop Radio, and many other beautiful and wonderful cultural events.
And with questions, you call, as always, 888-635-1112. Hope you had a pen with you all this time. It's the end of this hour of Vocalo. I'm Dan. This is BSTC, our friends and local hip-hop community. I love it.
Ready? Let's go, baby. It's time to hit the flow. So sexy. Baby, my sexy lady. When you walk on the floor, I found it hard to ignore, babe. The way you do, babe. What you do, babe. I'm so into, babe.
Oh,
watching. You know I'm watching. Play that bass, boy. She watching. Yeah. Girl, you gonna make me put this mic down and come get it.